Hey, drama listeners, this is Dylan, and we have a brand new episode of Drama for you this week with the wonderful and lovely Nikki Renee Daniels. Of course, you know her from her a dozen Broadway credits, but also she recently starred in Once Upon a Mattress at New York City Center Encores. Before you jump into the episode, I would like to tell you a little bit about our Patreon, which is called Drama Plus. It's a $5 a month bonus platform where you get two additional bonus episodes every single month, as well as Instagram close friends content and so much more, including the love and affection from Connor and I. We're so grateful to everyone who has been along with us on this drama journey. The spring Broadway season is in full effect, and we have so much exciting content coming up for you all, and especially weekly Wednesday episodes of drama. Your support means the world, and we hope you'll check out patreon.com/thedramapodcast. All right, let's get on with the show.
Press play.
Curtain up an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, you told me beforehand that there's so much that you want to discuss, and you came up with a list. I feel like we're recording one of our bonus episodes, ding, which you can get by subscribing to our Patreon for two extra bonus episodes a month. Anyway, shameless plug aside, what did you want to chat about?
You effortlessly slid into promoting the Patreon, which I love. But Dylan, there is so much that's been going on. It's kind of crazy. I feel like January, there's always this slump. Everyone wants to stay in. Everyone, you know, whatever, whatever,
I
whatever.
Sure did.
And then February just comes in guns a-blazing. Or maybe it's because I stay in January and schedule all my plans for February when I'm like more ready to enter the world.
I need to ask you.
Okay.
You recently returned to Chicago, not the city, but the show.
You know, what's funny about this is I kept telling everybody all week, oh my God, I'm going to see Ariana Maddox in Chicago. And not one, not two, but three different people said to me, you're flying to Chicago to see Ariana's solo tour? She does like some other
These
tour.
These must not have been theater people.
They were, which is like embarrassing. But no, Dylan, I went with our dear friend Logan to see Ariana from Vanderpump Rules in Chicago on Broadway. Okay, this is like so random of me, but I'm gonna say we got Broadway Week tickets, which was such a good deal. I mean, we had front row mezzanine seats for literally half price. Like, I paid more to sit, you know, in the back of a balcony at a show before. You know what I mean? So good. That's the perfect view. If you're seeing Chicago, front mezz.
How were the vocals?
They were good. Like, she's not.
Yeah. I mean, I know she can dance. She almost went Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. So. She really held her own. She's not like the best singer you've ever heard in your entire life, but I didn't expect her to be. So
you can kind of talky.
A
Chicago,
lot of it. But know? I forgot how much Roxy is given a lot to do. She has to be funny. She has to be dramatic. She has to dance down. She
and
has
do
to
a cartwheel.
Do a cartwheel even. I know. She has to make sure that rag is hot and full of honey. So Ariana did well. I'm proud of her. And I think she's only going to get better. Lots of raw natural talent. So it was
I
good.
Saw that they hit like a new grosses high with her in it. But
I know.
I love when those things come out. It's always like, well, yeah, because inflation and, you know, prices are higher in general. But you know, I know that happened like a year ago when Jinx Monsoon went into Chicago as Mama Morton as well. So that is so fun. Well, you know, we're talking about a revival of a show.
That's
and
true.
Our guest today has been in a few iconic revivals.
And some other just generally iconic projects, including coming off of something at City Center Encores. Much love.
Not to take a line from Chicago, but it was the name on everybody's lips. I mean, everybody was talking about Once Upon a Mattress. I'm going to read her in, and then let's jump in here because there's just so much to get into with her because she's been in all of our favorite shows and oh my God, she also looks gorgeous and I'm blushing.
I know, she's stunning.
Not to comment on women's bodies, but like she looks amazing. Like, anyways.
That's true.
All right. Our guest today is an acclaimed Broadway and television actress, concert and opera soloist, and all-around queen. She recently starred as Lady Larkin in New York City Center Encores' production of Once Upon a Mattress. Her fabulous Broadway appearances include the Tony-winning revival of Company as Jenny, and she also made history as the first Black actress to play Bobby She's appeared in The Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, Anything Goes, The Book of Mormon, Promises, Promises, Les Miserables, Lestat, The Look of Love, Nine, and Aida. She played Martha Jefferson in 1776, also at Encores, and Rose Lennox in The Secret Garden at David Geffen Hall. She also made her New York City opera debut as Clara in Porgy and Bess. Regionally, I had to pick some regional credits because they're amazing. She's played Emmy in Carolina Change, Sarah in Ragtime, Belle in Beauty and the Beast, and more. She slayed as Angelica in Hamilton in Chicago, as well as toured in Little Shop of Horrors as Crystal. On television, she's appeared in Madam Secretary, The Sound of Music Live, and has performed as a soloist with numerous symphony orchestras across the country, in Canada, and at Carnegie Hall. Her gorgeous album, Home, is available where fine music is found and streamed. She is a mother, a wife, and we are so gagged that she's here with us today. Please welcome to Drama, Nikki Renee Daniels.
Hello. Hi.
Hello, Nikki. It's so nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us on Drama.
Of course. Of course.
You just finished an iconic run at City Center. How are you? Are you well?
I am well. I'm getting over a cold, so sorry if I sound a little bit raspy. But yeah, the last week of Once Upon a Mattress, I was like, oh, because I had a cold, not COVID. Thankfully, I was able to sing through it. So yes, I am well now.
I love to hear it. How was that experience? Who was the original Lady Larkin? Like, who made that role famous?
I don't know her name. I know Jane Krakowski did it in the last revival. She actually came to the show on Saturday, and I was like, it's funny because a lot of us in the principal cast had never done the show before, which is, I think, kind of strange because at the stage where almost every person was like, I did Once Upon a Mattress in high school, or I did it in college, or someone said I played Lady Larkin opposite my now ex-husband in college. And like almost every program I signed was from someone who had done the show before. But out of the entire principal cast, I don't think any of us had done it or even seen it before. So it was kind of neat to bring our own spin to it. And obviously Amy Sherman-Palladino redid the adaptation, which was fantastic.
Oh, she's such a snappy writer. That's so cool. I actually read Mary Rogers's memoir over the summer. And I'm not familiar with Once Upon a Mattress at all, other than Shy. So I wish I could have seen it, but I saw the clips that City Center graciously posted online, and you sounded so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
With Cheyenne Jackson.
I know. Isn't he a dream?
Such a dream. Oh my God. He's like
I've known
the
Cheyenne
ultimate hunk.
For years. I've known him for years. We were both in Aida on Broadway at different times. So we never did it together. But he was also in Altar Boys with some of my good friends from college. So we've known each other. And then the only time we worked together before this was Secret Garden at the David Geffen, where he was Dr. Craven.
Oh my gosh.
I was Rose. So we didn't really get any scenes or anything to do with each other. So I was so happy to get to sing with him.
Yeah, that's so cool. And of course you worked with Sutton again because you did Anything Goes, right? Yeah.
Yes. And I actually first met Sutton when I was in college in the ensemble of South Pacific at Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera. And she was Nellie Forbush. So that was the first time I met her. That was before Millie and all of that.
Do you remember thinking like, oh, she's a star?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Speaking of college, you went to Cincinnati, and I actually live in Columbus, Ohio. We're both from Ohio.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Was that a good experience living in Cincinnati?
Yeah. You know, Cincinnati actually is really cute now. I went back with the Cincinnati Symphony a couple times in the past few years, and it looks like a different city than it was when I was there.
Oh, yeah. They've worked a lot on it.
They did. It's really cute now. Yeah. I had a good experience in college, you know. Music theater programs are notorious for scarring you deeply at some point.
And that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
But when I went to CCM, like Shoshana Bean, Leslie Kritzer, and Sarah Gettelfinger were all in like 2 years ahead of me. And so it was just like an insane amount of talent. So to get to watch, I feel like I learned honestly more from watching the students perform. They were really inspiring. And my classmates were so inspiring.
Aww. What was like your most memorable role in college? I'm just curious.
I would have to say I played Aldonza in Man of La Mancha, and it's memorable because I was so miscast. But Aaron, I don't think I was very good in it, to be honest. But Aaron Lazar played Don Quixote, and he was amazing.
I want to see this though, regardless.
He was so good. Tony Yazbek, who's actually directing this Children of Eden concert I'm about to do, was like his understudy. And like, you know, it was a great group of people.
Oh my God. You're like 6 degrees of separation. You've worked with literally everybody.
Yeah. My friend Daniel, who's in Sweeney Todd, he was in it. He was Sancho. It was, I think I like just barely held my own, but I don't think I was anything amazing in it. But Aaron Lazar was truly fantastic.
Oh, I love him. So you went to CCM to study, was it a musical theater?
It was a musical theater degree, but when I went to CCM, the musical theater students took voice from the same faculty that the voice opera, like voice performance majors took voice. It was like one set of voice faculty. And in high school, I was really trying to decide whether or not I wanted to major in musical theater or strictly voice. And I just decided that I loved watching and being in musicals more, I think, than watching opera, even though I loved singing opera. So I decided to go for the music theater degree. And it was kind of a bonus because CCM also had an amazing vocal performance program. So in my lessons, I sort of treated them as if I was a voice major. And I would work on arias and, you know, I'd work on my musical theater stuff too a little bit. But I really took advantage of the classical training there.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Did you always sing?
No, actually, I was so shy as a kid. I was so shy. I played piano for 7 years. I can't really play anymore, unfortunately. And then I played the flute. I was in band. And I auditioned for the school musical, just like kind of on a whim in seventh grade. And I was so shy. I had one little solo line and I would get like yelled at because I wasn't singing loud enough. And but I really enjoyed the experience as a whole. So I took like this little voice class over the summer. It was like a group voice class. And something in that class just like clicked. And I started taking private voice lessons. And from there, I went into show choir and all the community theater and all the high school theater and stuff like that.
When do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment, aka you're participating, you're doing all this, or maybe you're just watching and enjoying it. And you were like, oh, wait. This is my thing. This is my ish. I need to be involved like forever.
Yeah, I would have to say we actually moved my sophomore year of high school from Rochester, New York to Atlanta, Georgia. And when we moved, I was like, I have to go to performing arts high school. I want to go to performing arts high school. So I got into the local performing arts high school and I got cast as T-Moon in Once on This Island, which was my first role, like my first time not being in the ensemble. And once I got a little taste of that singing a solo on stage, I was like, oh, this might be it. Like, this is really, I just love it. I've always loved theater since I started doing it. And so that sort of solidified it for me.
Oh, and your parents were supportive?
Yeah, they were. You know, I told my parents I wanted to be an actor, I think my sophomore year of high school. And my mom was like, well, you know, that's a really tough field to go into. And I was like, yeah, but I really want to give it a try. And she was like, okay. And like, that was it. She like only sort of gave me one little warning. Yeah. And then they just supported me. I think they could see that, you know, I would do like vocal competitions and stuff and win them. So I think they knew that maybe I had something to work with. So, you know, they were always so supportive. My mom actually passed away like 2 years ago, but she loved the theater and she would come see me in everything. So
did she have a favorite role that she got to see you do that she'd always talk about or something like that?
I think she loved Hamilton. Okay. Hamilton and Porgy and Bess were really her two favorites.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm sorry for your loss. Now, and you're a mother now yourself, and I know that you both have two daughters, right?
Yes.
And they're both musical as well. Did you have to give them the due diligence of the same little, you know, it's hard conversation?
Well, you know, I don't think they're super interested in it, to be honest. I mean, I think when both of your parents are on Broadway, it doesn't seem cool.
That's so
just
funny.
Like kind of like this thing that your parents do, you know. They're like super entitled. Like when we go to shows, they're like, so are we going backstage? You know, they just like assume that's like what we're doing, or
yeah,
get to meet the lead or whatever, you know. So yeah. I don't think they sort of understand that it's kind of a big deal to be on Broadway and that lots of people all around the like world want to do it, and your parents have done it like several times. I don't think it's so cool to them. So, you know, I don't want to be a Mama Rose and like push them into anything, but they are both very talented singers. So, you know, we'll see if they find it on their own, that's great. And if they want to be, you know, a veterinarian, that's also great.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you were in Hamilton during the craze. Did that register with them? Like, oh, mom's in Hamilton.
Yeah, I think maybe that one did, but just because unlike any other musical I've ever seen, like everyone knows what Hamilton is, like, right. Not just fans, like it's Book of Mormon, actually, which is what I was in before it, I feel like was the closest thing to that. Hamilton's just iconic. Like, you know, all the kids at their school are wearing Hamilton t-shirts and stuff like that. So I think, but you know, when I was in Hamilton, my younger daughter was 2 and my older daughter was 6. So again, it's not, maybe if I was in it now, she might register that a little bit more, but it's just another fun show to see. And when my 6-year-old, well, now 10-year-old, but 6-year-old saw the show, Hester, what was her favorite part? And she said, my favorite part was when the lady in red brought trouble to the town. I was like, interesting.
Oh, that's so funny. Now, you have been working on Broadway like over the last 2 decades. You've done, like I said, so many of our favorite shows and whatnot. What I would love to kind of do is like kind of just cherry pick some of your different shows and ask you just a little bit about each of them, if that's okay, a little stroll down memory lane.
Yeah.
And I want to start with your most recent Broadway appearance in Company, which Connor and I saw one of your only previews in 2020. And then we got to come back and see it after you opened, or right before you opened, I want to say, in 2021, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. What was your experience with Company before, you know, auditioning for this Marianne Elliott production?
I knew the show because I was a theater nerd, and in high school, I used to check out, they had these like anthologies of different scripts. So it'd be like Sondheim musicals 1970 to 1979 or whatever. And it would have like the script. And then I would check out the CDs, I'm aging myself here, of all of the cast albums. And I would like read the script and like listen to the CD and the songs came up. So I knew Company from that. And then when I was in college, also at Pittsburgh CLO, the original production of Company had 4 ladies in the ensemble, not even ensemble. They were offstage sort of pit singers called the vocal minority. So when I was at Pittsburgh CLO, they did Company and I was one of the 4 girls who sort of, Bobby, Bobby, just like on every song, you kind of were like filler to enhance the sound. So that production was like Malcolm Getz was Bobby, Leslie Kritzer was Marta. It was Michelle Pock was Joanne. It was like a stellar cast. So I got to just sit in rehearsal and watch it because, you know, we were just there to sing. so that was my only experience. I didn't audition for it when it was in New York until our production. I remember seeing a cast breakdown and I saw that they had done it in London and there was a Black actress playing Jenny and covering Bobby. And so I emailed my agents and the breakdown was like, everyone must be really funny and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know how hilarious I am. I love the audition for this. So while I was in Hamilton, I was flying back and forth to New York so we would finish our Sunday matinee and then I would get on a 7 o'clock flight and be back here and then leave Tuesday at noon.
Wow.
And I did it like 35 times while I was in
Frequent
Chicago.
Flyer.
So one of those Mondays, I got my company audition and they knew that I was out of town. So they had me do like all the Jenny material and Marianne was so nice. Like auditioning for her was a dream. She just sets you at ease. And Chris Harper is the kindest, most wonderful producer. I like can't speak highly enough about both of them.
And he paid your salary.
Yes, he paid my salary. And, so I went in and I did all the material and I didn't do a callback. Like I didn't even do any of the Bobby material actually, which I was like, oh, I'm kind of surprised they didn't like ask me to do any of that because I knew the actress that played Jenny in London had covered it. But anyway, I found out I got it like a week or two later and they asked me to cover Bobby. And I was like, oh, I don't know, not because I didn't want to cover it, but when you're an understudy, you have to be at so much extra rehearsal. And, you know, with my kids, I'd just gotten back from being in Chicago for most of the time. And I didn't want to have to give up all those days with them. But they were like, well, you have to cover it. And I was like, okay. So, you know, that was how it all came about.
That's really special. And then it was quite a moment when you did get to go on and the chaos of, was that Omicron or whatever that was happening?
Well, I mean, Katrina was so solid. She didn't miss any shows other than when she got COVID.
Wow.
I had no idea it would make as big of a splash as it did. Like theater news wise, it was, to me, I was just like, let me learn this part. It's like the biggest part I've ever done on a Broadway stage. So, you know, it took a lot to learn it. So I'm glad I did get to perform it. And I was blown away by the amount of support and just people that came out and articles written. I just didn't expect that. So it was very, very cool.
I'm sure it was gratifying too, after being in the business for so long.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and too, it was it proved something to myself because I had never done a part that had to wear two microphones, you know, in case the one mic dies, you don't have time to leave the stage. And, you know, that's how important your role is.
Wow.
I'd never done a part that was that big. So to get to do it. And my husband was in the show. He was an understudy in the show. My kids got to come see us, and he ended up going on for Paul, the show that they came to see me go on for Bobby. So it's not a show I'd recommend for young children, but sure. It just seemed like we had to have them be a part of that experience.
No, that's so special. Yeah. And I got to ask, what was your favorite Bobby moment of the night to sing?
I mean, all the songs are so good. I have to be Being Alive, right? I mean, it's one of the most iconic Sondheim songs for the whole journey of the night. But Marry Me a Little was pretty great too. But Being Alive for me is actually easier to sing than Marry Me a Little. So yeah. A little more, not fun to sing, but a little easier to just let the emotion flow and not worry too much about technique and stuff.
Wow. Was the rain still a part of it?
No. They cut the rain okay. by the time I went on, they had cut the rain.
Okay. Why did they cut it? Do you remember?
You know, honestly, of all the shows I've done, we had a lot of technical malfunctions and had to stop the show a lot. And I think it was because the water was affecting the mechanics or however, whatever was, it would drain down under the stage, but that's where everything was with the lift and all that. So I think it was maybe causing some technical issues. So they decided wasn't worth it.
Yeah,
that's fair. It was beautiful, but I understand.
Yeah.
Gosh, I need you in another Marian Elliott production at some point.
Me too. Oh my gosh, I would love to work with her again. It was so neat. I learned so much working with her too, because she's, I think Company might have been the first musical she's done, or at least on a major stage. And it was just so neat to like work on it like a play, especially the way it's structured with, you know, all the scenes are so individual and kind of long, you know, before the songs come in. And so it was so, it made me think of approaching character in a totally different way, like moving forward from that.
That's really neat. We're going to jump into other credits in a second, but how did you meet your husband?
We did Les Mis together on Broadway.
Oh, the one with like Norm Lewis and, Aaron Lazar, right?
Yeah.
Was it love at first barricade?
Actually it wasn't. I mean, we got to be really good friends. My mutual friend, Tomar Wilson, who I'd done Lestat with, was like, oh, my friend Jeff got your show. Like, he's brand new to the city. He had like got it from like a non-equity open call. Like, he was brand new from Kansas, you know, and he's like, gotta be like a big sister, you know, show him the ropes. He's never lived in New York. He doesn't know anything. So, you know, the first day of rehearsal, and he's a little younger than me. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna be like a big sister. If you need any help, let me know. I looked at him more like a friend, you know, and that cast, we were all super close, and we would play Texas Hold'em poker in between shows on two show days. So he was a part of the poker group, and we got to like know each other. And I just liked him as a person. I just thought he was such a good person. And then like 6 months into the run, it started to kind of change and be like, wait, I like you as more than a friend.
Oh,
so yeah.
And here you are, what, 15 plus
we're,
years?
We'll be married 15 years this year. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. Congrats.
I did that math so quick. Oh my God.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, Dylan, I'm very impressed with you right now.
I know my boyfriend thinks I need to take off both shoes to count to 10. So that's, you know, he'll love to hear that. That's adorable. And he joined Company then when there needed to be like extra coverage, right?
Yeah. He had actually auditioned for Company back when I had auditioned for it. He was up for, I think, Theo. He didn't get it, but he had auditioned. And then right around, we opened like December 8th. And right after that, people started perishing with COVID. And they realized it was such a guy heavy show because we had a female Bobby that they just didn't have enough coverage. Like I think we had to cancel a show, not even because of COVID. Two people had stomach virus or something and were unable to perform. And because of the way the coverage was, we couldn't do the show because there weren't enough people to push letters in that another 100 people number, those giant company letters. So they were like, we can't have this happen. We need one more body.
And you're like, I know a guy.
They called him and offered him. Like literally, we came in on a Saturday morning to rehearse a version of the show that had fewer letters. We do like a cut letter version of the show if we were really desperate. And when we were at that rehearsal, it was like before a two show day, and the associate director was like, I think your husband's gonna be getting a call. And I like picked him, like, oh, I think they're calling. And then he was like, wait, I'm getting a call right now. So anyway, it worked out for us to be.
That's really funny. Yeah. Oh my God. Are those the two Broadway shows you've done together? Yes. Or were there any others?
Just those two, which I feel lucky that we've even done anything after the first one.
Yeah.
So. Sure. Oh, that's Aww. So funny. Going back a little bit, was Aida your Broadway debut?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. And so was this original cast, like Heather was still in it, Cherry Renee Scott, or was
no,
this like Toni Braxton
was,
vibes?
I think it was right after they left. I don't think they left much longer before I went into the show, but I was brand new to the city. And actually my final callback was supposed to be on 9/11, like the 9/11.
Oh my God.
And I got a phone call, or somehow they were like, we're so sorry, but we have to reschedule it for the next day. So they rescheduled my callback for the 12th. And the casting director called me that evening and said that I was going to be making my Broadway debut. And I remember I was walking up the stairs to my fifth floor walk up, just like, such an emotional like time, you know, we could barely even like get in touch with family to let them know we're okay.
Wow.
I just like collapsed in the stairs and like cried of like so many conflicting emotions in that moment. But the casting director is like, I normally don't call people, but I really wanted to give someone some good news.
Oh, that gives me chills. Oh my God.
And so that's, I found out I was actually just a temporary replacement because Heather was leaving and they were promoting the standby, who at the time was Maya Days,
yeah,
mm-hmm. to play Aida for like 4 months. And then Shelley Williams, who's now a Broadway director,
yeah.
was playing Nehebka, and they moved her up to be the Aida standby. So they needed someone to do Nehebka for like 4 months until Simone, who's Nina Simone's daughter, she played Aida for a while.
Oh, what?
They wanted her to come in from the tour, but she wanted to play LA or something. So anyway, there was like 4 months there where they didn't have an Aida for Broadway. So that was how I got to make my Broadway debut. And I was only there for 4 months.
Wow. At the Palace Theater, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty magical Broadway debut.
Yeah. I mean, it was at the time my favorite show. I would like do Student Rush and go sit in the front row. I'd seen it like 3 or 4 times. So
did you see Adina ever go on as
I did it with her.
Oh, she was in it with you. Her. Oh my God. That's
yeah.
so fun.
She went in around that same time.
Wow.
I did it with her. And I think Felicia Finley replaced her.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a voice.
Yeah.
And every hunk in town was in for Radames too, I'm sure.
Yeah. So. Matt Bogart was the standby at that time, I think, and Will Chase. I worked with both of them in understudy rehearsal. I never went on. I covered Aida also, but
okay.
never went on. But yeah. It was a great group. And then I did a tour for like a little bit.
Okay.
But. You know, and it's been kicking around that might happen again. And
yeah.
I can see you as Aida.
Oh, I'm too old. But
they'll get
someone younger for sure. But one of our swings, I think, is choreographing it. One of our swings from the original cast, Darrell Bentley, who's a very talented choreographer.
Yeah.
Wait, I need to ask. So fifth floor walk up, first New York apartment, where was it?
Hell's Kitchen, 49th and 9th.
Oh, love it.
I mean, for someone new to the city, it was a great way to like be in the middle of everything. So you're not late to work, but be able to sort of learn the subway.
Yeah. yeah.
Now you did Book of Mormon for like 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Were you Nabalungi that whole time?
Yeah.
Oh my
what a
God.
Fun.
So we both revisited Book of Mormon over the last couple of months. I laughed my butt off. It is so funny and so good. It is just, what was that time like? You know, Connor mentioned earlier when you were in Hamilton, it was like the craze. And then you said, Book of Mormon. What was that like?
Yeah, Book of Mormon. I think I went in 2014 because my oldest daughter was one. It was just so much fun. I mean, if you're going to do any show for 4 years, let it be a fun one. Let it be one that's like sold out all the time and the audience goes nuts no matter what. And like, it was just fun. And I learned a lot just about how to do 8 shows a week in that run, you know, how to be consistent, how to keep it fresh. Because I really... People are like, oh, how did you do that? And I really had fun the whole time. Like, it was just, you know, it feels like such a privilege to get to perform on Broadway. It's something I never take for granted. So I love that. And then also we had so many amazing understudies and the cast was constantly changing over. So there's always something new to like find if you want to, you know? So
sure.
And it also just, like I said, taught me how to like what I needed to do, especially as a parent, to keep my voice in shape, just because sleep is such a big part of your voice and you just can't get the amount of sleep you need or want to get when you have kids. So it was a good way for me to figure out how do
I've heard that. I've heard that before.
I had so many great, I mean, Gavin Creel was Elder Price and Nick Rouleau, who I love. And Ben Platt was Elder Cunningham when I first started. And Brian Sears. And yeah, it was just a great group.
That Baptize Me number makes me literally almost pee my pants every time I see it. It is so damn funny.
Yeah.
They really nailed the script is funny, but the songs are also just as funny. There was no like disconnect, you know, like They did such a good job with that.
Yeah.
What was Promises Promises like?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, you know, I'm not a dancer, so that was a bit rough just having to like dance. Energetically, the Rob Ashford show, you know. Yeah. And once again, it was in the 60s. The original Promises was around the same time as the original company. And once again, they had these four girls in the pit to like sweeten the sound, which is basically what my job was. There were four of us, but they also wanted us to dance. So we couldn't just sit in our little closet and sing. We had to like sing and then like run out on stage and like get in the back of these amazing dancers and kind of like try to look, blend in.
I didn't realize that pit singers was still popular on Broadway.
Yeah, I think the last show I know of, well, I did The Look of Love, which I was a pit singer in a standby.
Wow.
And more than that, I think Saturday Night Fever had pit singers because my fellow pit singer had been in Saturday Night Fever and we're still good friends. Oh. But I think that might have been the last time that was a thing. But yeah, it was a great, I mean, Sean Hayes is so lovely. Kristen Chenoweth used to like bring boxes full of like clothes or like purses that she'd been given and be like, do you guys want these? Like, I still have like a purse that she would just bring us all her like celebrity leftovers of stuff that she didn't want. And it was a great group. I had fun.
We mentioned earlier that you kind of like have worked with everybody. Is there anyone that you would get starstruck by, or do you get starstruck when you're working with these icons?
I mean, sometimes. I just did a workshop with Stokes and I was pretty like, because you know, Ragtime, and I saw him in Kiss of the Spider Woman even. Oh. It was one of the first Broadway shows I ever saw on like a school trip to New York. And then of course, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he was like Hillary's boyfriend.
The most important about that. Yeah.
So I was like, I can't believe I get to work with Stokes. But, you know, Patti LuPone, that was a big one. She's a legend, probably the biggest musical theater legend. Audra. They're all, I can't believe that I've gotten to work with all of them. Mm-hmm. And I've learned something from watching all of them perform.
Totally. You're their colleague though, at the end of the day, you know, so it levels you.
Oh my God. The look on your face is cute.
I will say you never feel like Audra McDonald's colleague. She's like somewhere like above the ceiling of my room. And you know, you're just trying to like, can I just maybe keep up with you just a little bit? No, I can't, but you're still amazing. Like just, you know, of all the people, I mean, she's just in another realm.
Yeah.
Her ability to access every emotion and sing like she does. She's just like no one else.
Yeah. Did you meet her in Sound of Music Live?
No. I think I first met her. This was, I guess I can talk about this. This is like almost 20 years ago at this point. Michael John Lacusa was doing a sort of newer version of Carmen. Like, you know, Carmen Jones is kind of it's kind of like that, but not that Carmen Jones. It was like a new Carmen. She was doing Carmen and I was doing it was a workshop or a reading. I was doing, Cindy Lou, whoever the young part is. And Carmen Jones, it's Cindy Lou. I forget what her name is in the opera. But I was singing that character. So I think that was the first time I ever met her and or worked with her. And I was so nervous. But actually, I first met her. I was in college and she was doing Marie Christine. And I had done like the Muni, I think, the summer before. And the stage manager from one of my Muni shows was stage managing Marie Christine. So I like made a trip to the city and he somehow got me backstage and I got to go to her dressing room and meet her. And we took a picture and I had it up in my college apartment, the picture of me and Audra. And I'm like,
And then you were in Porgy and Bess together, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably so surreal. Oh my God.
I know. Now you did Ragtime, that concert that was like with the Boston Pops last year, right? Mm-hmm. Was you first played Sarah in that, right? You mentioned you're going to be doing another concert coming up, but this is Children of Eden. Will you be singing Spark of Creation? Because I have to say, your version of it is always in my Spotify mixes. It always pops up. And it is just amazing. I mean, you absolutely devour it. Will you get to sing that in Children of
Eden? I will. Yeah, I'm playing Eve and Mama Noah. So in the first act, Spark Creation.
Oh,
and there's
two
reprises.
What is this concert going to be?
It's Manhattan Concert Productions. Like once a year, they do kind of a revival. Like I did the Secret Garden concert with Cheyenne. That was Manhattan Concert Productions. They did like Parade with Laura Benanti and Jeremy Jordan, I think. I think they did Crazy for You with Tony Asbeck and Laura Osnes. Like once a year, they do. I think they did Joseph with Jessica Bosk. Like once a year, they do.
I remember
and it's
that
Lincoln Center It's at David Geffen Hall at Lincoln Center. It's like a one night only.
Do you know who else is going to be in the concert with you?
Yeah, Norm Lewis is playing God, fittingly.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yes. And Donald Weber is playing Kane. The young lady who played Moana in the movies. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name.
Owly?
Yes. Yeah. She's playing Yona.
She was just in the Mean Girls movie musical. Yeah. She was phenomenal.
Oh, really? I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's
I'm cute. Sure.
Yeah, she was really, really great. Wow. Okay, Connor, were there any other credits that you had wanted to chat about before we moved into our
I know. I feel like I'm looking at this list. I guess I do want to ask Beauty and the Beast. Maybe it's top of mind because like this new production's coming, but when did you do it? And was the addition of a change in me in the show when you were in it? Because I always love the story that they put that in for Toni Braxton and then honestly made like my favorite song in Beauty and the Beast. Like I literally listen to it like every week. But when did you do it?
It's a great song. I did it in three different productions. My first time was North Shore Music Theater. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2005, maybe, or 2004, maybe. And then the next summer I did it at Sacramento Music Circus. Same director every time, Glenn Casale, who's so great. And the third time I did it at American Musical Theater of San Jose. And the whole production of that is on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Good to know.
Actually, when I was doing Once Upon a Mattress at the stage where I was signing, and my babysitter actually came to see the show. And she was like, you were in Beauty and the Beast with my friend. He played Chip. And he's, you know, this like grown man. And I was like, what? That's crazy. That was 2008. I think that was the last time I did it.
Have you a babysitter as in who babysat you or
who babysat my kids?
Oh, babysat your kids. Okay,
she babysits my kids like now.
Oh, that's so cute.
She came to the show and introduced me to Chip.
Oh, so home was definitely in it at that point. Or I'm so sorry, yes, changing me.
Yeah, I did it every time.
Oh, okay. Love, love, love.
Wait, speaking of home, different home, The Wiz, you have this incredible album that I mentioned earlier. What brought that about? Because you first of all picked phenomenal songs to be included.
Thank you. Home was a song I just always sung. I never got to play Dorothy. It was like my main audition song for like years when I was in the Dorothy age range. I still sing it. I sang it with Houston Symphony last year. I sang it at Carnegie Hall with the New York Pops. I still do it in concert.
To hear it with a symphony would probably be just so epic.
Yeah, I love getting to do concerts. And it's like, you know, 80 pieces behind you. It's like it.
What label did you do the album with?
I self-produced it, actually. Yeah, Scott Allen, the composer, hooked me up with this producer, Jamie Ray. He lives in Florida. He works with the Voices of Liberty at Disney World, actually. He was fantastic. He like got all the arrangements together and like recorded the band and the backup singers. And I went down to Florida and recorded it. But yeah, I picked out all the material and he made it happen. So.
And your husband, of course, was included on that.
Yeah.
Is that Light in the Piazza song?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I just got to meet Adam Gettle because he came to Once Upon a Mattress. Mm. Of course, his mom wrote it.
Of course.
And he was so nice and lovely. So that was cool.
Did you ever do like an album release concert or anything to sing all the songs?
I don't love doing cabarets. I'm like, as I said, I'm still like kind of shy and I don't like talking as myself.
Aww. Well, you're doing a great job today.
Well, thank you. It also just gives me agita to like feel like I have to make all my friends come to a concert so I can sell tickets. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like all of it just makes you go, ugh.
Do you also avoid throwing birthday parties for yourself for the same reason? Okay. It's all making sense. Yeah, yeah.
In fact, my birthday was during Mattress and I didn't say anything. And my husband texted Mary Mitchell, our music director, so that they would like sing happy birthday to me. And I was like, oh,
that's so fun. That's fun though, to celebrate with so many amazing people too.
Yeah. It was nice. But I'm not big on all of that stuff.
No. Well, happy belated.
Thank you.
I need to ask before we move on to our closing segment, you have done so much. You've had such an amazing career. What's the dream? Like, what else are you hoping to add to this resume?
Honestly, I would love to create a new role, like something that's tailored to me and like how my voice and like all that. I mean, I've had such a great experience replacing, but you know, you're filling the mold that someone else made. So it'd be nice to be the mold and not try to fill someone else's mold. Totally. It's as great of a time as I've had with all of it. I would love to do something new.
I can't wait.
Manifesting. It'll happen.
It's coming. So I teed it up a second ago, but before we say goodbye, we always end on a dose of drama. This could be, you know, a little pop culture recommendation, something you want to rant about, rave about, anything on your mind, truly at all. And I'm gonna kick it off today because, I mean, love it or hate it, Twitter slash X is still a huge part of our lives, but RuPaul's Drag Race just celebrated, what was it, Dylan, 14 or 15 years?
15 years.
15 years. Yeah. And
just like Nikki and Jeff.
Literally. That's incredible. But oh my God, there was like a Twitter prompt that was like, what's your favorite obscure Drag Race moment? And the clips, I'm still watching them. This happened like last week and it's still on my feed, but I think it might be the funniest show of all time. Like these queens are hilarious, whether they're trying to be or not. And I'm so grateful that we still have Drag Race because it is funny. So anyway.
Agreed. Nikki, have you ever watched RuPaul's Drag Race?
I haven't, to be honest.
It's very fun. You've been a little busy, understandably so.
Do you like
I hear nothing but good things.
Yeah. Do you like competition reality shows?
We watch Survivor, but actually Love is Blind is kind of my guilty pleasure. That and like Indian Matchmaking.
Oh, fun.
Oh, I've never got into that.
The Golden Bachelor.
I heard that was fantastic.
It was so sweet. It was really sweet.
And they're getting married on television, right? Or they did?
They are, yeah.
The Golden Wedding.
Yes.
Do you think they'll do it again, but a Golden Bachelorette?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, it was just nice to see these, you know, these people who had like lived these full lives, and a lot of them had had marriages and had a spouse pass away. And like, they just don't want to spend the rest of their lives alone, you know? And it's like, you don't think about senior citizens maybe as much as you should, and just like what their life is like, you know, and just these people, the people that they chose obviously had so much vitality left in them.
Yeah.
And it was so much more heartbreaking to like see them, you know, not get the rose and like be devastated. Yeah. And, like, the Bachelor himself was like, so he didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Like, they were all just such lovely people. It was just really sweet.
I know. We had friends that would tell us, they're like, I cry at every episode.
Yeah.
That's so refreshing. I definitely think I want to give it a go.
Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. I want to follow up on something. So we had Blake Roman, who was in Harmony, that just closed a couple weeks ago. We had him on.
Oh, I did a reading with him last year. So talented.
He's a gem.
Doesn't he have a great like speaking and singing voice? Like, it's just very, you know, it's him when he's speaking.
It's just sweet. Energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of his speaking and singing voice, he voices a character on this Amazon Prime animated series called Has Been Hotel. And I have not watched like a series that I just fell absolutely so in love with immediately. It has Erica Henningsen, Daphne Rubin-Vega, Christian Borle, Jessica Vosk, Alex Brightman, Leslie Kritzer. I mean, it has so many Broadway people in it.
Gosh.
It's wild. And it was so funny. It's musical. And Blake was in it and he did a phenomenal job. It's like 8 quick little 20-minute episodes. Definitely not for kids, I will say, but it's like a grown-up adult cartoon. I recommend it to everybody. And Blake, shout out to you. You did fantastic. Oh, Christina Alabato. Like, so many amazing people. A lot of them have done our show as well. So
love it. Drama.
Yes.
Nikki, do you have a dose of drama?
A dose of drama. I just watched this TV show on Netflix and I'm forgetting what it was called. It was basically, they had twins and one twin would do the vegan diet and one twin would do like a healthy omnivore diet. And they like tested all of these things. I'm like super into fitness and like strength training. I don't know if you've heard of the term muscle mommies.
No, that's a new term.
Moms who lift. So, you know, I got into strength training over the pandemic and I'm kind of passionate about it. I feel like more women should know that, like, you don't have to just, you know, do Pilates and try to be like so tiny and, you know, get strong, like gain some muscle, and like it's so good for you.
Are there like groups for like muscle mommies to like all work out together and stuff?
I work out with this woman, Caroline Gervin, on YouTube.
Oh, very good. Yes.
This is not an ad or anything. I get nothing saying this, but she has these free like 50-day workout plans where she'll just do like upper body, lower body, and she plans it out so you don't have to like know what you're doing. And there's a Facebook group where everyone like cheers each other on and asks questions and stuff.
That's amazing, because fitness can be such an individualized thing, but my favorite experiences with it have been in group fitness settings where you're not alone.
I think especially like women in our business are always trying to do like yoga and Pilates and they don't want to bulk up or anything. And I think, don't worry about that, ladies, you're not gonna bulk up, get strong.
But I did hear about this Netflix series, because obviously Connor and I are twins, and people always love to direct us to twin content.
All right.
Yeah. Now, both twins, like, how long did they do this study?
So it was 8 weeks.
8 weeks, okay.
And they did, like, a DEXA scan, so they got their percentages of, like, body fat and cholesterol and, like, all this stuff, muscle mass. And then they did, like, a brain test, like, how quick they were at brain games. They even did, like, a sexual health thing where they had them watch some not-so-clean movies.
Oh,
and they,
my.
Like, and they saw their reactions. And so then they redid all the tests, like, 8 weeks later. And the people that had the vegan diet, or their brain stuff was a little better. And the people that did the omnivore diet, their, like, muscle mass was a little better. So to me, it kind of showed that, like, maybe... Not to knock anyone's diet, but maybe, like, a healthy mix of both is good.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. A muscle mommy. I love
I'm
that.
I'm intrigued. That's so fun.
Nikki, you are such a delight. And I am really, really thankful that you took the time to chat with us today. Where can the people find you online?
At name is Nikki Renee Sings on Instagram, X, I guess. Now. Threads. And I'm even on TikTok. I just joined a few months ago. 2 Ks, Nikki, R-E-N-E-E. Nikki Renee Sings.
Beautiful.
Aw, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Now, while everyone's following Nikki, they've got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I am Dylan McDowell. Check out our Patreon. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. All of that. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.
Drama.